2 weeks ago, last week, and this week, Father James often likes to refer to as the preacher's nightmares. The celebration of the gift of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, the solemnity of the Holy Trinity, and today, the solemnity of Corpus Christi, the mystery of the gift of the Lord's body and blood, are not the preacher's nightmare because there's so little to say, but because there's so much to say, it's difficult to know where even to begin. They all ate and were satisfied. I've often thought that this was a curious statement for St. Luke to include at the end of his account of the miracle of the multiplication of loaves and fishes. They all ate and were satisfied. This little line, of course, makes clear that the bread that Jesus multiplied was not multiplied stingily or miserly, but abundantly. Not only was there enough for everybody to have a little bit to eat, to taste, nor was there so much that everyone was able to gorge themselves. There was a sufficient quantity for all to eat and be satisfied. I think it's interesting also that the church sees in the multiplication of the loaves and fishes an appropriate gospel for the Feast of Corpus Christi. After all, we don't think that the Eucharist is just bread and wine. Moreover, at Mass, we don't witness a multiplication of the bread or a multiplication of the wine. Yet the fathers of the church and the medieval theologians always saw in this miracle, the multiplication of the loaves and fishes, a symbol of the Eucharist. And I want to propose that this little line, they all ate and were satisfied, is the key to understanding that symbol. You see, while the bread and wine presented for the celebration of the holy sacrifice of the Mass are not multiplied, they are changed by divine work, such that what was really quite unsatisfying, plain wheat bread and not especially exquisite wine, becomes satisfying and abundantly so. The miracle of transubstantiation, the big word the church uses to describe the miracle of how the bread and wine becomes the body and blood of Christ through the words and gestures of the priest, the miracle of transubstantiation is a miracle whose purpose is to satisfy us spiritually, to enable us to share in Christ's own life even now while still on earth. But you might say, how does the Eucharist satisfy? I leave here both hungry and thirsty, and oftentimes seemingly no better off spiritually than when I came. I was distracted or worried or anxious. How does the Eucharist satisfy? I want to propose that the Eucharist satisfies us spiritually in a way totally different than anything earthly. Unlike earthly food, which satisfies us temporarily by taking away hunger, the Eucharist satisfies us spiritually precisely by deepening our hunger, by increasing our longing to be united with God eternally. Unlike earthly food, which satisfies by taking away hunger only for it to return later, The Eucharist satisfies us spiritually not by taking away hunger, but by changing our hunger, by turning our craving for earthly goods and temporary pleasures into an insatiable hunger for the things of God. How? I think our opening prayer answers this for us. O God, who in the Blessed Sacrament have left us a memorial of your passion, grant, we pray, that through the mystery of your body and blood, we might always experience in ourselves the fruits of your redemption. By making us always experience in ourselves the fruits of our redemption. Since the Eucharist is really the body and blood, soul and divinity of our crucified and risen Savior, our reception of Holy Communion unites us with his entire saving work. It makes us experience in ourselves the effects of his saving work, not usually dramatically, but really and truly. In his beautiful writings on the Eucharist, both systematic and poetical, some of which we heard in the sequence and which we'll hear in one of the communion meditations, St. Thomas Aquinas lists a whole series of effects of receiving Holy Communion. He writes, "It puts the enemy to flight, defends us against temptation to sin, cleanses the soul from sin, enlightens the understanding, the mind, to know God, stirs up our affections and our will with a love of God, fills the memory with spiritual sweetness, and leads us to heaven." If receiving the Eucharist really has these nourishing effects in our soul, effects which admittedly are sometimes difficult to see right away, it should leave no doubt just how close God comes to us when we receive Holy Communion. If these are truly effects of receiving Holy Communion, then it's certainly clear how receiving Holy Communion satisfies. And in satisfying, deepens our longing to be united with God's in God's own life. In satisfying, the Eucharist deepens our longing to move from shadows to reality, not to share partially in God's life as we do now through the sacraments, but totally in God's own life, to move from sacrament to the great wedding banquet of the Lamb in heaven. They all ate and were satisfied. We too eat from the altar of sacrifice every time we receive Holy Communion. We too are satisfied through the innumerable spiritual effects brought about by uniting ourselves to God sacramentally. And in being satisfied, our hunger grows as we eagerly await the glorious coming of our Savior, the eternal life of unending happiness, when all pain will be alleviated, all sorrow will be turned to gladness, and all hunger will cease. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord and be satisfied.